rifle attack like we've heard of. Well, I'm long may it continue, Susie, running safely in Matlock. Thank you very much indeed for your call. That is it from me for today. If you missed any of the show, you can listen back on both Catch Up and Global Player. You can catch up on both Global Player and the new LBC app, where you can stay up to date with all the latest news and opinion. Coming up at 7 on LBC, it's Andrew Marr. But now it's time for Ben Kentish.
Sheila, thank you very much indeed. Yes, hello, afternoon at 4 o'clock.
The great divide that is opening up in British society is between those that get up and go to work and their next-door neighbours who choose to do nothing.
Nigel Farage makes a major play for Labour voters this afternoon, claiming it's now Reform UK that is the real party of the workers. And if the polls are right, at least, a lot of working-class people seem to agree. Farage is offering something that working-class voters in particular seem to quite like. In fact, this former City of London trader in a pinstripe suit is more popular with working-class people than any other political party leader. So how do we explain that? What is Farage doing or saying or offering maybe that is particularly attractive to working class people in Britain? And can you understand that appeal? Or is Farage, in your view, just another savvy, sweet-talking snake oil salesman cynically luring the masses into lending him their vote?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 4 o'clock. It's believed a car which was driven into crowds in Liverpool last night followed an ambulance through a roadblock. A man in his 50s is being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving and driving while unfit through drugs. 11 people remain in hospital in a stable condition after 65 people were injured following Liverpool's Premier League title parade. Detective Chief Superintendent Karen Jaundrill from Merseyside Police has been giving an update in the last hour.
Our detectives are speaking to any witnesses, including those injured, witnesses at the scene and emergency responders, as we seek to get a full picture of exactly what happened. In addition, extensive CCTV inquiries are being carried out across the city to establish the movements of the car, a Ford Galaxy, before the incident took place. We have already had an incredible response from many of those who were there last night.
A court has heard a van driver had taken at least 20 lines of cocaine before running down a three-year-old girl in Manchester. 36-year-old Rawal Rehman from the city has admitted death by dangerous driving and jailed for 12 years. Louisa Palmciano died in February. The Education Secretary has admitted scrapping the two-child benefit cap isn't off the table, but Bridget Phillipson says the costs involved in doing so aren't straightforward. The government is facing pressure from its own MPs to change course. During an event earlier, Nigel Farage says Reform UK has decided to U-turn on the restrictions, having previously supported the cap.
Because the cost of living has fundamentally changed since that time, where we now have, in many cases, the highest energy bills in the world. We have a depopulation problem with British-born babies. We're trying to fill that gap with mass unskilled migration. We have to do something long-term to sort it out.
A man with a restraining order stopping him contacting one of the James Bond producers has been in court accused of breaking it. 36-year-old Daniel Wilson from Lambeth denies 11 counts of trying to get in touch with Barbara Broccoli. And Britain's Cameron Norrie has pulled off a surprise opening round win at the French Open tennis. He knocked out the 11th seed, Daniel Medvedev. British number one, Jack Draper, is also in action later. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 71 points at 87.89. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.19. LBC weather, rain clearing eastwards to leave a mostly dry night. Showers lingering in central areas with the odd shower for northwest Scotland, a low of 2. Patchy cloud tomorrow with sunny spells and the odd light shower for most. Turning cloudy and windy in the far west towards the evening, a high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Amelia Cox.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ben Kentish.
Just gone four. Hello, afternoon. Ben Kentish in for Tom Swarbrick here on LBC Drive this week. Great to have your company this afternoon on the show.
Not the kind of incident that you would normally associate with the decorum of the institution of the French presidency.
Scandal in France after a video emerges in which Emmanuel Macron's wife appears to push the French president in the head. The Élysée, though, says it's all a misunderstanding. So how are they explaining that shocking footage? Details later this hour. And
we've forgotten that marriage makes an enormous difference to society.
Almost half of British teenagers are now living with just one parent, as it's revealed that the UK is experiencing the highest level of family breakdown ever. What's causing that? And is it really the scandal that it's today been claimed it is? Your thoughts on that a little later.
Call and WhatsApp message now. 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Ben Kentish on LBC.
But first this afternoon, earlier today, in a stuffy function room somewhere in central London, Nigel Farage fired the starting gun on the next general election campaign. That election may be several years away, but Farage and Reform UK are clearly and firmly on the warpath. Having won over millions of Conservative voters already, having trounced the Tories at the local elections earlier this month and soared to 30% in the opinion polls, Nigel Farage now has Labour firmly in his sights. Because let's be honest, attracting droves of voters from Labour as well as the Conservatives is going to be the difference, if he can achieve it, between Nigel Farage being the leader of a bit part party in the next parliament and quite possibly being our next prime minister. And as ever, Nigel Farage is not being particularly subtle about what he's trying to do. He has today announced a series of policies, things he's never previously supported, that are particularly popular with Labour voters. Talk more about those in just a moment. It's very, very clear what Farage is trying to do here. Reform itself is making no qualms about it. They've called his speech today a pitch to working people. And Farage has even gone as far as challenging Keir Starmer to a debate in a working man's club in the north of England in order, as he put it, to see who connects better with working people. This is clearly Farage saying to working class Brits, I might not have your background, I might not come from your areas, I might not speak with the same accent, but I am on your side. And the response from Labour today, I think, is particularly intriguing because they are very much playing the man here rather than the ball. Here's Labour's statement. Nigel Farage is a privately educated stockbroker and career politician who has only ever cared about his own self-interest and personal ambition and never what is good for working people in this country. And yet, if the polls are right, clearly that's not what a lot of people think. A lot of working class voters actually think the opposite, that Nigel Farage speaks to them and for them in a way that no other politician does. Ask voters, for example, whether Starmer or Farage makes the better Prime Minister, and Starmer wins comfortably, 44% to 29%. Narrow that down to working class voters alone, and the results are flipped. Farage comes out on top. How do you explain that? How is Nigel Farage, a privately educated son of a stockbroker who left school to become a trader in the City of London, reaching working class voters in a way that other politicians like Keir Starmer isn't? Keir Starmer, by the way, who did grow up working class. Dad famously was a toolmaker, went to a state comprehensive, made his living and his reputation not in the City of London, but as a human rights lawyer. What is Farage doing or saying, or representing perhaps, that is particularly appealing to working class Brits in a way that other political leaders and other politicians in this country right now aren't? If you can explain that, pick up the phone. 0345 6060 973 is the number you need. You can call that number or WhatsApp. You can text if you prefer this afternoon, 84850, or you can say, Alexa, send a comment to LBC. Why is Farage so popular with working class voters? And do you buy it? Do you understand the appeal? Do you share the appeal? Or is this nothing more than a case of a snake oil salesman, as Angela Rayner described Nigel Farage as this weekend, selling lies and myths to the masses? That number once more, 0345 6060 973. Let's get more on what it is specifically Nigel Farage has been saying today and what policies he's been coming out with in his bid to appeal to Labour voters. Natasha Clark is LBC's political editor. Natasha.
Yes, Ben. So I was at that stuffy room in central London earlier today where Nigel Farage was trying to outline his pitch to the working class. He accused Sir Keir Starmer of being hopelessly out of touch with working people, and he announced three major new policies for reform. That is, you know, scrapping the two-child benefit cap, reversing the winter fuel payments, and saying that we should be doing more on the marriage tax allowance, basically giving more tax breaks to married couples to encourage them to have more children and to stay together. Not, you would think, typically reform policies. And actually, all of the polling shows that actually it's not very popular amongst exactly the type of people that Nigel Farage is trying to appeal to. It's very, very that's totally not what they would expect from someone like him. But yes, the reform boss earlier today dubbed the Prime Minister the most unpatriotic in history after signing deals with the EU and the Chagos Islands, which we had last year. Here's him speaking a little bit earlier today about why he thinks that reform are now the party of the workers.
This Prime Minister has no connection with working people, no connection with what we used to call working class communities. He doesn't understand what it's like to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go out and work physically hard for the day. He doesn't seem to understand that the tax burden, the cost of living, energy bills have meant that people genuinely have had a lower standard of living quite consistently over the course of the last 10 years.
But Ben, though, a government source that I was speaking to last night said of this challenge, this working class challenge, that you're saying, look, come up with me to a working class, you know, working man's club in the north of England, and we'll see who's more working class. They said, who is more in touch with the working class? One of them grew up in a home where the phone was cut off. The other went to Dulwich College. So, you know, this is really going to be the heart, I think, of one of the topics which will be at the next election. And, you know, we had this with Theresa May. Do you remember when she, you know, said that the Conservatives were now, you know, the blue-collar workers,
yes,
the working
famously,
class?
Yeah.
Famously. And, you know, it does happen with politicians of all colours claiming to be the party for the workers. But Reform, of course, doing incredibly well in the polls. They're on 29% now, according to one poll from YouGov. That's followed by Labour on 22%. Clearly, Nigel Farage is tapping into something. He says that Sir Keir Starmer, as he likes to call him, saying that, you know, that he is no longer in touch with those working class voters, is, you know, no longer that man that, you know, you say that he grew up in that, you know, house, son of a toolmaker. You know, has he changed? And I think a lot of people, especially, I do remember going up to Labour Party conference in Liverpool last year, and a lot of them do feel that Keir Starmer is no longer the person that he was, the son of a toolmaker. And now they feel that he's grown up and grown into a little bit of a different class. But let's see what listeners think.
Really interesting. Absolutely. We will do in just a moment. Thank you very much. That's Natasha Clark, LBC's political editor. Your calls coming in on that already. Those to come in just a few minutes' time. First, so let's talk to Scarlett Maguire about this, founding director of the polling company Merlin Strategies. Scarlett, very good afternoon to you. This question of who is the real party of the workers, which of the parties most appeals to working class people in this country, how pivotal is that going to be come the next election?
I think it is going to be important, and that's partly because actually Labour were the people that initially made that important. Labour were the people that first started talking about actually firstly delivering change, and especially delivering change for working people, which Reform has sort of taken and run with. And it's quite interesting. I mean, I had some polling out this morning, which is just looking at attributes head-to-head. Interestingly, Kemi Badenoch wasn't involved in that, make of that what you will. But it gave Nigel Farage quite a decisive lead on this question, which is who is more for working people, which is interesting, but I mean, maybe altogether not surprising, because we've been here before. We've been here before with Boris Johnson, the former Etonian, who seemed to be better at speaking to this audience. And so it's not necessarily just about how people grew up.
How much of this is about policy, do you think, Scarlett, and how much is it about personality? Is it about what Farage is offering in terms of the pledges he's making, or is it who he is as a person and what he says that is particularly attractive to working class voters, do you think?
At the moment, I think Reform have managed to get very far, almost coasting on this wave of anti-politics that's going on throughout the country. People just hating Westminster and Westminster sort of in inverted commas mainstream politicians, even though, of course, Nigel Farage has been around Westminster for a long time himself. He's been a mainstay of sort of media and political life for a long time now. But no, I think Nigel Farage's personality, we saw the difference it made when he returned to the party. Mm-hmm. Before then, it looked like they were going to be a bit of a damp squib, maybe getting 10% of the election and no seats under Richard Tice's leadership. I think it was hard to see them doing any better than that. And actually then, probably after the election, the attention might have gone back to the Conservatives. So no, Farage's personality is hugely important. And then I do think, even though we don't necessarily actually have those specific policies from them yet, their direction of travel on immigration. And I think those two things are the most important. All these things we've heard from Farage earlier today, it'll be interesting to see how they land in the polls, but they've already managed to get to 30% essentially on Farage's personality and their stance on immigration.
Scarlett, the point you made about Boris Johnson, really interesting, because, of course, he also came from a very privileged background, as does Nigel Farage, and I think most people know that. So the fact that Labour has responded to this Farage announcement today by really focusing on his background, pointing out that he's a privately educated stockbroker and career politician, I mean, that doesn't seem to have worked so far. I'm sceptical that it will now. What do you think Labour should be doing to counter the threat that it seems Reform poses to them?
I think it's very difficult, and I actually think there's some parallels to be made with the US election here. So I think if you speak to quite a lot of people in and around Labour, or especially in the centre-left of politics, they will say that they think potentially their best chance as we go over the next few years into the next election is to run a sort of stop Farage coalition, or turn the election into a referendum on Farage and his personality, because he has been such a divisive and polarising figure in our politics. That is exactly what the Democrats attempted to do with Donald Trump in America. And I think what we will see from both Donald Trump's trajectory in the run-up to that election, and indeed Farage's now, is that firstly, they are becoming more popular themselves and less unpopular. And secondly, the people mounting that campaign are becoming more unpopular. And it becomes very, very difficult to attack someone on that sort of personal basis when voters already think of you quite poorly.
Scarlett, really interesting. Thanks very much indeed for your insight. Scarlett Maguire, founding director of polling company Merlin Strategy. How is Farage appealing so successfully to working class people in this country? Do you buy it, or is he just a self-interested snake oil salesman telling people what they want to hear? 0345 600 973. Lots of your calls coming in on that. Those to come in just a moment. Ben Kentish here in for Tom Swarbrick on LBC. It's 4:15.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Chawner. On the M25 going anti-clockwise, it starts stop at the Dartford Tunnels, adding roughly 45 minutes onto your journey, while in Thornton Heath there are queues on the London Road in both directions between Mayday Road and Campbell Road. That's due to recovery work on an earlier accident. In Wembley there are queues on the North Circular heading eastbound at Harrow Road underpass because of an earlier accident there. And in Upper Edmonton there are long delays on the North Circular heading eastbound, with one lane closed at the Cooks Ferry interchange because of an earlier accident. Finally, there are queues on the A13 eastbound between Prince Regent Lane and the Lodge Avenue flyover.
This is LBC.
Ever wish your brain had a psychic that could help turn this entire week into pure gold with just a blink of your eyes? Whilst we can't promise that, Baroque Mind contains vitamin B5 to support mental performance, iron to support energy release, and is enriched with Spanish sage extract. Find it now at major retailers in two zingy flavors, citrus and berry. Just drop fizz and enjoy. Your mind's the hero. We're just the sidekick. Baroque Mind.
Call Ben Kentish, 0345 600 973, LBC.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
Here's Alex, turning at a junction. Alex cooks a mean Jalfrezi. And here's Sue, waiting to cross the road off to get a takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
Sue's a curry fan, but she can't cook for toffee. Alex, let's give way to Sue. Because pedestrians crossing or waiting to cross have priority at junctions, whether they can cook or not. Whoever you meet, travel like you know them.
Thanks.
Think. Follow the highway code and let's help keep everyone safe. The highway code rules in Northern Ireland may vary.
Angela Rippon, what are you doing here?
I've come to tell you about using energy flexibly, Albert.
Flexibly?
Yes, smart meter owners could get rewarded for moving their energy use, like doing the laundry at off-peak times.
So I don't need to do the splits?
No, Albert, nobody wants to see that.
Get rewarded for using energy flexibly, only with a smart meter. Search Get a Smart Meter today.
Eligibility and availability vary. Consumer action required. Reward schemes and tariffs available to selected customers from selected suppliers.
Body pain might not sound like this.
Oh.
Or this.
Oh.
But it might sound like this.
I'm fine.
Hiding your body pain behind a smile? Let us help. With up to 12 hours of uninterrupted muscle and joint pain relief. Voltarol, the joy of movement. Voltarol Joint and Back Pain Relief 2.3% gel contains diclofenac diethylammonium. Always read the label.
Ben Kentish on LBC.
Straight to your calls on Nigel Farage. How is he appealing so successfully for now, it seems, to working class voters? What is he doing or saying or representing to achieve that? And do you buy it, or are you one of the many, judging by my inbox, that is pretty sceptical about whether he really is the true voice of working class Britain? James is in Wembley this afternoon. Hi, James.
Hi, good afternoon, Ben. Please bear with me. I've got a bit of a sore throat. But
oh, wish you better, James. You take care.
Okay, right. So he's got a very good, confident voice, and that does help, right? It's very... the way he talks is fantastic compared to Starmer. He goes... His voice
he's a good orator. He's a good orator. Give him that.
He's a good orator. He looks the part as well. Always wears a shirt and tie. Got a suit on. Unlike Starmer, he turned up at the Pope's funeral a few weeks ago. And at the beginning, when he had a meeting with President Trump and the guy from France, he wasn't wearing a tie. So
James, let me just pause you on that. This is a country that not so long ago elected Boris Johnson to the highest office in the land. If it was sartorial standards that were a key factor for millions of British people, I put this politely, I don't think Boris Johnson would have made it to number 10.
Yeah, but listen, I understand what you're saying. Okay, I'm in sales. Okay, when I wear a shirt and tie and a suit,
yes,
I get a bit more respect.
Sure.
Right?
But Keir Starmer's a well-dressed bloke.
Well, he doesn't always wear a tie.
But the more fundamental point is, I don't think personally that working class voters are so sort of shallow that they say, "Oh, he's got a nice voice and he does his tie nicely. I'll vote for him." It's too simplistic.
But also, there's more to him. There's more to him, obviously. Right, look, what he's saying to people is what the people have been saying for years. Mm. But the Conservative government didn't take any notice, and Labour are doing the same. Mainly on immigration. Mm-hmm. They're too soft on immigration. And the British people are looking at it and saying, you know what, this guy is making a lot of sense.
Right.
And so is Richard Tice.
So would you say it's more about what Farage stands for in terms of policy and what he says on the big issues of the day than it is about him as a man and him as a leader?
Yes.
Okay.
And also he's... He's got a way about him. He's got a certain aura, and he's got the confidence, and people seem to like that. Whereas Starmer and Rachel Reeves, if you listen to them, they've both sort of got the same sort of style, and they're both talking sort of the same sort of voice. If you listen to Rachel Reeves, she sounds like Starmer's sister or cousin or whatever.
What do they sound like to you, James, when you hear them? When you hear those two Labour politicians, what is it that you think that you don't like?
I just the voice and the way they go on a bit sometimes.
Is it authenticity you're talking about?
Exactly. Right. I don't seem to sort of... I mean, he sounds genuine. I mean, what's her name? Farage sounds very genuine. Very genuine.
Okay,
you know?
James, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. I think James is onto something there. I think we'll talk a little bit later about authenticity, which for me is a key part of this. Thank you, James. Jason's in Marylebone this afternoon. Afternoon to you, Jason.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, fine, thank you. Hope you are too.
Good. I mean, when we talk about him appealing to the working class, I think you're right, but I think he's appealing to what I traditionally used to think of as the white van man working class person.
What does that mean to you, Jason, the white van man working class?
It means that I think he appeals very much to white working class people.
Right.
I think if you were talking to immigrants that work very hard in this country, would he appeal to them? I would probably say no, he doesn't.
I think that's a very fair point.
So I think what that does, it worries me, because I think people like him can cause too much of a divide.
But what is it that he's doing and saying that is so attractive? And I think you're right to make that distinction, because it is white working class people in particular, and not alone, but in particular, that are positive and supportive of Nigel Farage. What is it that you think they like about what he is saying or doing?
Well, I think because he's forever criticising the immigration policy in this country.
So he's just playing on what, a sort of blatant racism in this country?
If I'm being blatantly honest, I feel like that he is... Donald Trump, when he won America, he won it because he went for middle America, which is fundamentally the racist part of America. I don't believe for one second that Donald Trump is a true racist. I don't believe that.
Right.
But I think he's a true businessman, and he knew if he wanted to become... President of the United States of America, you've got to go after the vote. So if you turn on coloured people in America, you're going to get middle America voting for you. And I think that Nigel Farage is doing something very, very, very similar, but I think it's an extremely dangerous game to be playing.
People of colour, you mean, Jason, I think, rather.
Absolutely,
than colour.
People of colour. Sorry, of colour. Yeah.
No,
so people of colour would then go and vote for Donald, would not vote for Donald Trump, But obviously white America will vote for Donald Trump.
But the Trump analogy, I think it's a very good one, because Donald Trump, also like Nigel Farage, is very wealthy, very privileged, multi-billionaire, international property mogul, and yet has convinced working class Americans that he is on their side in a way that actually politicians who are far more working class themselves were unable to do. And here you have Nigel Farage on this side of the Atlantic somehow doing the same.
So what does that tell you?
I don't know if it's just about racism and xenophobia, Jason. I think
nothing to do with racism or xenophobia.
Right,
it's to do with being a very, very good salesman. And it's about knowing your customer, about going out to win.
Yes.
So I don't think for one minute that Nigel Farage or Donald Trump are racist. I don't believe that for a second.
Right.
But I think they will play that card if they think it will get them the vote.
Okay. Jason, interesting. Thank you very much indeed. That's Jason and Marylebone. To Abby Wood this afternoon in Virginia.
Yes,
welcome,
sir.
Virginia.
Good afternoon, sir.
Afternoon.
I like you. I like the way you talk. And I like Nigel Farage, to be honest with you. I'm a black woman, and I've lived here 54 years. And Nigel Farage talks sense. Everything he says, I agree. Why do people always go with race?
Well, I think Jason was saying he's quite anti-migrant. He wants net zero migration. And Jason, I think, was sort of suggesting that if you are a migrant yourself, whether you're a first generation, second or third generation, that might not go down too well with you. But clearly, with you, Virginia, it does.
It does well with me. As I said, I've been here since 72, before James O'Brien born, sir.
Right. So what is it? So everything he says you agree with?
I agree. I could be his PR.
You would support net migration being zero in Britain?
Why do they always thinking about migration? Why can't they think of something else that is good, that the man says? Why do people go with just that?
What do you mean just that?
Okay, if I'm in my country,
yes,
and I live and so many people come into my place and I have no job, of course I complain. It's human reaction. If where I'm living now in my country, say my country of birth, Nigeria,
yes,
and a lot of people from other side come to my place and my children have no job, I would complain. It's human nature. It's not because he's racist. He's speaking points.
Do you think, as someone who came from Nigeria, Virginia, the British Empire was overwhelmingly a good thing, as reform seems to think it was?
Well, they did good, they did bad. You can't blame them on everything. Now the British people have left. Nigeria, it's up to them now to take the baton and do something good.
Okay. Thank you, Virginia. Interesting. Dispelling Jason's point slightly, at least, that it is only white working class people that Farage is appealing to. Virginia says, I'm a black woman and I like what he's doing. Simon's in Southampton. Hi, Simon.
Before I make my point, Donald Trump not being racist, isn't this the man that is famed for not letting his properties to people of colour?
Is that correct?
Yep, if you look it up.
So you would say it's not just a case of him trying to appeal to an undercurrent of racism amongst voters, as Jason was suggesting. You think he is just racist?
I think he's one of the most racist people on the planet.
Donald Trump, okay.
Right, now...
Back
look,
to Farage, go on.
The problem is, now I'm a cabbie, Uber driver, I talk to a lot of people, all walks of life, yeah? Now, what we have here is a problem of ignorance. And I'm not going to call people stupid, although I'd like to. There's two types of Farage people. One is a cultist. They're just in the cult. The man can do no wrong. You've got a couple of callers, one of them being from Golders Green, that calls every time this subject comes up and thinks that the man has...
He's called in this afternoon. Simon.
Is he? Yeah, there
we
go.
Speak to him in a bit.
Good afternoon, Daniel. Oh my God, what is wrong with you?
But Daniel,
anyway,
but let's not pick on Daniel, because Daniel speaks for, if the polls are right, Simon, 30% of the voters in this
country.
Now,
you see,
right
this is where people are like... I mean this with love in my heart, Ben. But this is where presenters like yourself, all LBC presenters, are letting us down. Because the very first question you should be asking anybody that is in favour of that man, there's two questions.
Go on.
The first question should be, great, glad you like Mr. Farage. Are you happy to pay for your healthcare?
Simon, let me pause you there, because rather than me do this, what you want me to do, I'm going to let you do it yourself, if that's all right. Because you mentioned Daniel in Golders Green.
Yeah.
Here he is. Afternoon, Daniel.
Afternoon, Ben, and good afternoon, Simon.
Simon's got some questions for you.
Good afternoon. So go on.
Fire away, Simon.
No, go on then. What is it? What is it you? What is it that you're not happy about that you can tell me that is the answer to our prayers? Because I'm telling you now, I hear you all the time. You are wrong, my friend.
Okay, well, it's not just me, Simon. It's 4.1 million votes. It's 4.1 million voters who voted for reform at the general election, and it's 235,000 members
who, and you're all either wrong.
Simon, let him respond. Go on, Daniel.
Thank you. Thanks, Ben. So, Simon, the reason why Nigel Farage and Reform are so popular is because they're doing something very simple. And that very simple thing is they are listening to, understanding and addressing the concerns of ordinary people who've been ignored, disregarded and frankly insulted by the established mainstream politicians for decades. People who have been taxed into poverty, been hit with relentless tax rises, rules, laws, regulations. People who've been completely ignored, and that's why they're so popular.
Simon.
Right. First of all, the reason why taxes are so high because we've just had 14 years of austerity and a Tory government. That's point one. So Farage is capitalising in on that.
Simon, there were
point
some questions
two.
You wanted me to ask people who support reform. Why don't you put them to Daniel directly?
Yeah. So my first question then, I mean, you know, I could elaborate on my points. I still say you're wrong and you're all in a cult or you're all ignorant, but that's for you to work out. Question one, are you or any member of your family that holds the same views, are you looking forward to the absolute destruction of the NHS, an Americanized insurance model being brought in, losing your house if you break your leg like they do over there? Are you looking forward to that policy?
No, Simon, I'm not, because frankly, that is outright disinformation, because Reform have officially stated that under reform, the NHS will always remain free at the point of delivery. What Nigel Farage has said is that people like me, for example, and my family, who can afford private health care, good. And why is that a good thing? Because it relieves the burden of the NHS. People like me who can afford to pay for private health care, I don't want to burden the NHS. I want the NHS to be available for people who can't afford it and need it.
Question two,
we're in
Simon.
A situation now where some people that can't afford to lose their heating allowance have lost it. So, you know, these blanket policies don't benefit.
But Daniel's responded to why he's not worried about the NHS. What was your
question?
Question two.
A £68 million value man, probably didn't phrase that very well, is the current deputy leader or chairman of the Reform Party, who is a climate change denier because probably, he's in the pay of fossil fuel companies. And
you've got to back that up, Simon.
Right. Well, I say allegedly then. His partner has left this country. His white English partner has left this country to become an immigrant in Dubai. And it's come to light that his climate denying policies don't actually extend into his own personal businesses. He is making a mug.
I don't think you're talking about Richard Tyson. I don't think he denies climate change. He's skeptical of the extent to which it's man-made, and he's very against net zero. But let's let Daniel respond to that. Daniel.
Thanks, Ben. Simon, so two issues to address there. First of all, Richard Tice, Deputy Leader of Reform, is on record, he's on TV, on camera, agreeing that climate change exists. He says that the climate has changed for millions of years. What he doesn't believe in is that taxing people and introducing net zero can do anything to change the climate and help improve it. The second thing is... he's not wrong. The second thing is that you say he's worth 68 million. Who knows what he's worth? What we do know is that he successfully ran a huge multinational house building company. He built thousands of homes. He employed thousands of people. He quadrupled the share price of the company. He understands what it is to build bricks and mortar, to employ people, to pay taxes.
I think Simon's saying people who are as wealthy as Mr. Tyson, Mr. Farage, can they truly understand the needs of working class people in this country?
Yeah, that, Ben, that's a very fair point. I believe they can, because you look, they can walk into any pub in the country, into any bar. They can talk to people on the street. Nigel and Richard go around the country from Devon to Dundee, from Aberystwyth to Aberdeen. They go around and they talk to people on the street. They go into shops. They All right. know what it's like. Keir Starmer is totally out of touch, and Labour are frankly hypocrite.
Daniel, appreciate the call. Thank you very much indeed. Daniel in Golders Green, Simon in Southampton. Very different views on Nigel Farage and Reform UK. Which side of that debate are you on? More so. 0345 6060 973. Ben Kentish here on LBC this afternoon. Still to come.
We were squabbling and I was joking with my wife, and I'm surprised by it, and it becomes some sort of geoplanetary catastrophe.
Emmanuel Macron denies that he and his wife had an altercation after a viral video appeared to show her pushing him in the face as they prepared to get off a plane in Vietnam. Bring the details straight after the news headlines with Amelia Cox.
Police are questioning a man in his 50s on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving after a car was driven into people in Liverpool. 11 people are still being treated in hospital after it happened following Liverpool's Premier League title parade. A man has been charged with the attempted murder of a police officer in Buckinghamshire. PC Christopher Miller is in hospital with life-threatening injuries after a crash while on duty in Stoke Poges on Thursday. And the King says a relationship between Canada and US rooted in mutual respect can deliver transformational benefits for both countries. Charles is only the second monarch to give an address at the state opening of Canada's Parliament. LBC weather, rain clearing eastwards to leave a mostly dry night. Showers lingering in central areas with the odd shower for northwest Scotland, a low of 2 degrees.
LBC, this morning on Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
A confusion, a puzzle, a bewilderment of U-turns, but are there some more? Is there another one on the way?
Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson joining us. It is reported that pressure is mounting on the Prime Minister to scrap the two-child benefit limit. And the commentators who are saying that this is driven by Nigel Farage and some of his policies to try and attract Red Wall or Labour voters, how would you respond?
But Nigel Farage has never been on the side of working people. He opposes the measures that we are introducing that will help working people. For example, our employment rights bill that will give more people rights at work.
He doesn't agree with the two-child benefit cap, Secretary of State.
Well, he flip-flops on all of this. He's backed it in the past. And
doesn't your government flip-flop a bit?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
When you sail on a Saga cruise, you really can relax, because so much is included. A choice of speciality restaurants? Included. A balcony with every cabin? Included. Wonderfully attentive staff? Included. Spotting a whale out at sea? Included. Realising the whale is actually just a wave? Included. Search Saga Boutique Cruises 2026 season on sale now. Experience is everything. T's and C's apply, over 50s only.
The Red Cross is here to deliver essentials to people who have lost everything in Ukraine.
We are here to support families enduring the food crisis in Somalia.
We're here to shelter earthquake survivors in Turkey and Syria.
We're here for humanity. With your support, the Red Cross has helped millions of people in the UK and 190 other countries. Search British Red Cross to support us. Together, we are the world's emergency responders.
Hey, it's Roman here. Now at Vodafone, you can get the epic Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra and save up to £1,008 when you trade in an eligible phone. Plus, you can experience the exclusive Circle to Search feature, available only on Android, helping you to search fast and find what you need without switching apps. Go online or in-store today. Ends 12th of June. Vodafone.
Save £576 on 5GB airtime over 36 months and £72 on the phone. 100MB max speed, eligibility, credit and trade-in checks and terms apply. Finance Vodafone.
I've had a few. Jimmy was my first. He was gorgeous and gave me so much space. Then there was Lorenzo. He was exciting, but also reliable. Elvis is my latest. I love him the most. He makes me feel so warm with his heated seats and steering wheel. It might sound strange to love a car and name them, but it's not just me. Almost every Honda Jazz owner stays with the Jazz and buys another. True love starts with a test drive. Honda, the power of dreams.
Ben Kentish on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Here's Peter on WhatsApp. Just look across the pond, Ben, as he did for Brexit. Farage is promising simple solutions to complex problems. He talks a good game, but if he ever becomes PM, then God help us. David agrees, if people genuinely cannot see what Farage is, a lying, self-serving snake oil salesman, then I give up on this highly backward country. Again, I think it's too simplistic. I think we've got to look a bit deeper and ask what it is. I mean, millions of people are not just ignorant or stupid in the way that a lot of people seem to think they are. These are smart, informed, intelligent people who, for some reason, and that's what we're talking about this hour, are very, very attracted to what Nigel Farage is offering right now. What is it? What is that thing that is making him so popular, particularly with working class voters? 03456060973. More of your calls on that in just a moment. First, though, if you haven't seen the viral clip that has got pretty much everyone in France talking about it, you would have missed the sight of Emmanuel Macron standing at an open plane door about to disembark when a woman's arm enters the shot and quite clearly pushes him hard, it must be said, in the face. The arm belongs to Macron's wife, Bridget, and has sparked reports of an altercation. Macron himself denies that. His team say that what was happening was the couple were just playing around. Mark Brooks joins us, spokesperson for Mankind Initiative, a male domestic abuse charity. Mark, good to have you with us here on LBC. What was your reaction when you saw that footage?
Well, my reaction was that it wasn't a good look at all. And also the reason didn't really come across as very convincing. Of course, we don't know really what happened. And also men will always tend to minimise these types of issues, especially if they're seen by other people, whether that's presidents, whether that's just normal men. So it wasn't a good look. One thing that has been useful in some respects has been, again, it shined a light on the fact that that men can be affected by these incidents. And certainly from our experience, working, listening to men who call our helpline from France, it isn't an issue that seems to be taken as seriously in France as it is in the UK when it comes to men being affected.
If that video had showed the roles being reversed, if it had shown Emmanuel Macron putting his hand firmly and quite hard into the face of his wife, I wonder if the reaction wouldn't have been the sort of scandalous, salacious, even sort of amused response that we've seen from a lot of people. It would have been seen as far more sinister, Mark, and I wonder if that is a sign of a problem.
I agree completely. And it is still a problem in terms of men who are affected by that type of issue.
It's not taken as seriously.
As seriously as they are women, rightly so, and rightly so for women. You know, we still find that men not taken seriously. They're not being believed. They're being laughed at. I mean, some of the things that I saw on social media where people were laughing or sniggering, thought it was funny, for example, simply would not happen if it was the other way around. And, you know, we still see in popular culture things like, you know, throw rocks at boys, they're stupid. We see T-shirts with husband beater on them that you can still buy online. So there still is something in society that does not take this issue as seriously as it should, even though latest government figures show that one in five men will be affected by domestic abuse in their lifetime. So this is an issue that needs to be taken far more seriously. And for men to be seen as equally as potential perpetrators, but also as potential victims as well.
Mark, appreciate your time. Thank you very much indeed for talking to us this afternoon. Mark Brooks is the spokesperson for Mankind Initiative, a male domestic abuse charity. 4:42 the time. Ben Kentish here with you, in for Thomas Warbrick on LBC. And let's carry on our conversation about Nigel Farage as he makes a big play for Labour voters today, insisting that he and Reform are now the party of the workers rather than Labour. It seems a lot of working class people, according to the polls at least, agree. But why? Tim's a new caller in Liverpool. Tim, welcome. Afternoon.
Hi, Ben. Yeah, hello. Good afternoon.
Nigel Farage. Fan, Tim?
No, absolutely not. And fundamentally, why I think not just working class people, but people who like to categorise themselves as, let's say, middle class, you know, who earn a fairly decent salary, got a reasonable standard of living. Why them sort of people affiliate themselves with Nigel Farage is because they're thick. And I've got to disagree with what you said before. It's not people being stupid. And I'll tell you why. Because if you examine his actual policies in any detail, people in those categories, working class especially, are voting against their own best interests. Now, I've got to lay my cards on the table. I'm a Labour Party supporter. Always have been and always will be. Because from my point of view, I believe the Labour Party best represents my interests and making everybody's life better, or the majority of people's lives better. Where Farage says he's going to do all that, but if you examine the minutiae of his policies,
He's talking about taking millions of people out of income tax, for example. He's talking today about taking 250,000 children out of poverty by lifting the disability, the two-child benefit cap. So he is now coming out with policies that actually, for Labour voters like yourself, I would have thought would be quite popular.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's no way that he can pay for any of those things. You know, he's talking about a pie in the sky. I can save stuff here, I can save stuff there.
But well, he says he'd pay for it by reducing and going to doing away with net zero and so on. And you might disagree with that, but that is what he's saying.
Yeah, but I think when you look at what we're spending on it, I don't think the sums add up. I think when there's a forensic investigation into it, I don't think his sums will add up at all. Like, I can't remember who it was today on a rival channel. He's actually on the telly.
Yeah, fine.
Nigel Nelson said it looks like he's done his calculations on the back of the fact
But the point about how he'd pay for his policies is slightly different to the idea that he hasn't got anything that would benefit working class people, because there's a couple of policies that I just put to you that worked.
He has been, because listen, as much as Labour have made several errors since they've been in power, they have brought in some legislation that does benefit working class people, such as an end to
hire and rehire under worse conditions, I'm not disagreeing, but
what they call zero hours contracts.
Tim, I'm not disagreeing. I didn't think anyone saying Labour's done nothing for working class people. But if that is true, and I take your point, clearly Labour's not doing enough. Or more people wouldn't, working class people wouldn't be preferring Nigel Farage as Prime Minister to Keir Starmer. And they do. Tim, great first call. Thank you very much indeed. Lots more of your calls to come on Nigel Farage in a couple of minutes' time. Ben Kentish in for Tom Swarbrick here on LBC. After five.
Liverpool stands together, and the whole country stands with Liverpool.
Four children are among the 65 people injured after a car drove into a crowd at Liverpool's victory parade yesterday, as the city's mayor says it was absolutely right for Merseyside police to release details about the ethnicity of the suspect. Talk more about that in the next hour. Ben Kentish here on LBC. The time now is 4:46.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Chawner. On the M25, moving clockwise, one lane is closed and it's slow moving from junction 24 for Potter's Bar to junction 25 for Enfield. That's all because of a breakdown. In Wembley, there are queues on the North Circular heading eastbound at Harrow Road Underpass because of an earlier accident, while in Upper Edmonton, long delays on the North Circular heading eastbound with one lane closed at the Cooks Ferry Interchange because of recovery work on an earlier accident. On the A13, there are queues heading eastbound between Prince Regent Lane and the Lodge Avenue flyover. And on the train, severe delays on the Elizabeth line between London Paddington and Reading.
This is LBC.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot will have you dancing like nobody's watching. Yeah, baby. Just make sure nobody is watching. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app or buy in your nearest store.
Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Call Ben Kentish, 0345 6060 973, LBC.
At EDF, we don't just encourage you to use less electricity, we actually reward you for it. That's why, when you use less during peak times on weekdays, we give you free electricity on Sundays. How you use it is up to you. EDF. Change is in our power.
Households who reduce their weekday peak electricity usage by 50% can earn up to 16 hours of free electricity per week, subject to fair usage. For all T's and C's, visit edfenergy.com/r-power.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. HolidayParkAdviceCentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Your best bet is to head over to BetVictor. They've got bags of offers and promotions kicking about.
Like what?
For a start, all them weekly promotions.
Oh, yeah?
There's the Loyalty Club, the BetVictor Predictor, and in Casino, they've got the Spinners Club, which is a weekly slot thingamajig. And you can also order food to your door.
Can you?
Oh, no, hang about. That's a different app.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet at BetVictor. 18 plus, terms and conditions apply. Gambleaware.org.
So, close your eyes, picture the scene. Just you and me, alone, enjoying breakfast on our own little island. Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah.
Great, because I've booked Wickes to design our new kitchen.
At Wickes, we have 70 kitchen styles to choose from, with prices from under £3,000 to over £20,000. And with our spend and save offer, there's up to 50% off kitchen units. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wickes. Terms and minimum spend apply.
To learn more, visit aboutamazon.co.uk/sustainability.
Ben Kentish on LBC.
Funnily enough, I've got to say, I get quite frustrated by people just saying, millions of working class people only voting for Nigel Farage because they're thick. You might not like it, you might disagree with me, but I think it's incredibly snooty to just write off and snobbish millions of people, millions of voters who happen to be working class as idiots, as stupid, and fail to sort of look a bit deeper and say, well, actually, are there good reasons that people might want to vote Nigel Farage? For me, if you feel that your town, your area, your life, your income hasn't improved, and the Tories have said they will change that, and they haven't, and Labour says they will change that, and you don't feel they have, then I can understand why you might say, well, the mainstream, the establishment hasn't worked for us. Let's try somebody else. And I think where Farage is getting success right now, personally, tell me what you think, is by depicting himself as standing against the establishment, outside the establishment, which is quite impressive, given he is a privately educated, Kent-born son of a stockbroker who made a lot of money in the City of London. In a way, he is the establishment. And yet, much like Donald Trump, he has managed to convince millions of people that he isn't. That's why I think he's so popular, particularly with working class voters. But do you buy that? Do you think he's selling something or peddling something that is true? Or is this just an illusion? Is it, frankly, a con? 0345 6060 973. Dinesh is in Plymouth this afternoon. Dinesh.
Oh, hi. Good afternoon, Ben. Good
afternoon.
First time caller, so a little bit nervous.
Great to have you. You'll be great, Dinesh. Just me and you.
But I just want to make a point through, to be honest. So I've lived in Plymouth for the past 15 years. Love the place. I call it home. But recently, since when Farage has become popular, to be honest, I've noticed the amount of abuse we get as people of colour walking around. It used to be random drunks who would just come and say something horrible. I mean, as most immigrants, you know what, you grow a thick skin, you just learn to move away.
Mm.
But recently, it's got a lot worse. I've had people come in and say, you don't look British. And then
Dinesh, that's horrible.
Say something extremely horrible and say, get out of my country. And, you know, these are things, again, you learn to ignore. But the last thing that really affected me was I was walking with my Caucasian wife, and the first thing she pointed out was, I'm so glad our boys were next to us. And it just makes you realize, for no other reason apart from their dad's skin color, that these kids are going to get hurt in the long run, to be fair.
And do you link what's going on? Do you link the worsening of the racism that you're experiencing? And again, I'm so sorry that you are, Dinesh, to, well, you tell me, what do you think's changed in recent months?
Well, the biggest thing is, and I know this might sound a bit quite extreme, but I firmly don't think that every reform voter are racist. However, every single racist in this country is going to vote for reform. And that is the problem, to be honest, Ben, because these people think they're winning, but right. for all the wrong reasons. And because of that, I mean, I'm a local Facebook group, and the other day someone said, why are there so many brown people walking around our town? I mean, openly saying that on a Facebook group.
Right.
And you can see this getting a lot more obvious. And I think that is where the problem is, to be fair.
And do you link that to what Reform is saying or what Nigel Farage is doing? Because he would obviously firmly reject any idea that he's in any way responsible for racism.
Absolutely, but it's that divisive politics. You know, he's making people who are already poor and they're suffering and they need someone to kind of get an excuse. And those excuses at the moment, according to Farage, is the immigrants. And regardless whether it's asylum seekers, regardless whether they're people who've come in here and working, working 6 days a week, it doesn't matter. As long as you're non-Caucasian, you look a bit different, it's their fault. And when people are desperate, when people haven't got, enough money to put food and they see their children suffering, and then they realize this very clever person is saying it's all because of the immigrants. And when people are desperate, unfortunately, they are falling for it. I'm not saying everything he says is wrong.
No, I hear what you're saying loud and clear, Dinesh. I think, you're saying, and I would agree with you, that if people are repeatedly being told that immigrants are just coming, they're invaders, they're using our public services, they're taking our benefits, they're lazy, they're this, they're a drain on the taxpayer, which is none of which I would agree with, by the way, then a small minority of racist people will start taking that sort of anger and that frustration out on poor people like yourself who have done absolutely nothing wrong.
And not only racist itself, Ben, but even people who are desperate enough, you know, when they've come home, they're suffering by the fact that, you know, they haven't got much money. And then they hear someone who's very convincing and say that, you know what, it's all because of the immigrant. If not, you will do well.
Yep.
And if you're desperate enough, you're probably going to believe that, to be fair.
Dinner, I mean, it appalls me that we've become a country where you, as an immigrant who's made your life here, cannot walk down the street without fearing that somebody is going to abuse you because of the colour of your skin. And yet, again, you are not alone. The conversation, we can have a conversation about immigration and numbers, and I think it's too high. But the demonisation of migrants themselves that we have seen in the last few years, particularly, including from very influential people in politics and in Parliament, results in people like Dinesh being abused on the street. There is a link between those things, as much as those politicians might try and reject it. Dinesh, thank you for calling for the very first time. It's horrible. And it's disturbing to hear what you've gone through. And I just hope it doesn't continue. I fear that I might be sort of, you know, hoping for something that's unrealistic, because I've heard that story from other people as well. Thank you, Dinesh. Manjeet's in Dogsthorpe this afternoon. Hello, Manjeet.
Well, I'm actually on the M11. I've just come to a standstill. I'll tell you what, you guys sometimes don't know what racism is like. I'm born and bred in Great Britain, right? I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. There is not the racism that I grew up in. You know, I remember going to school, having skinheads chasing me, bother boys chasing me. I remember the Asian women not going out on a Saturday afternoon to go shopping because the football games are on and you had the fans out taunting. I had my turban torn off. I mean, Dinesh, who you just spoke to, how long have you been in this country?
Well, Manjeet, I'm pleased to hear that's not your experience. But just because you think it's got better, and I'm not disputing that it has for you, it doesn't mean that for Dinesh and others it hasn't got worse. Because
I've got Asian friends, I've got Pakistani friends. They don't get it.
I'm not going to let you just sort of diminish what Dinesh was just telling us, because he's not lying. He's not making it up. If in his part of the world, in his experience, things have got worse, then that's something we should take note of.
Yeah, but it's not compared to what it used to be like.
It is for him. He says it's got worse.
I don't know, but has he integrated?
Come on, you're not going to blame him for the fact that people are abusing him in the street, are you?
Well, I don't know, mate, because I'll tell you what...
Honestly, come on, man.
No, it's not. I'm 67 years old, mate, I lived through it. I grew up in it. I grew up in a tiny little village.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just simply saying that your experience as a person of colour in Britain is not necessarily the same as every single other person of colour in Britain. That's all I'm saying.
I know it's not.
Just because it's yours, it doesn't discredit or diminish what someone else has experienced.
No, but it used to be so much worse.
For you, and in your experience, yes, and a lot of other people too. But that doesn't mean that for Dinesh and others it hasn't got worse.
No, I know, but I'm sorry, some people do not help themselves, right? I'm going to be truthful with you, right? Some people do not want to integrate, do not want to...
And that legitimises people abusing them racially in the street,
doesn't it legitimise anything.
Well, we agree on that.
We agree on that. But what I'm saying is, when you're in Rome, do what the Romans do, right? I mean, look, listen to me, right? I ran my own business for 35 years, right? I've got a son who's in the police force. I've got three members in the medical profession.
Yes.
My grandson's just qualified as a doctor, and he can't get work in this country, so he's going off to Australia. I mean, that's unbelievable. You know, we've got things going wrong here, and we're not addressing it.
And right? is that the appeal of Farage, you think, Manji? That so much is going wrong and people think it's getting worse?
It's not the appeal of Farage. It's a letdown by the Labour and the Conservative Party.
But that's what
they're
I mean.
They've taken us as mugs, right? And this is why people are saying, for Farage, because he might say some things are off kilter, but he actually is talking the problems we're addressing now.
Like
now,
what?
My grandson went to, like the medical NHS, you can't get appointments, you can't get doctor's appointments.
Imagine, this is a man that has long said he wants to have a private healthcare system for those that can afford it. He's not a great advocate of the NHS, is he?
Yes, but if you can afford it, I can afford it. I still work, right? I can afford it, and we do. Let me just explain something to you. My grandson went for 5 years at Chelmsford Uni.
Okay.
Passed. He did a year at Basildon Hospital. He did a year at Peterborough Hospital and a year at Adam Brooks. His fiancée, she's a doctor. They're both qualified. They put their resumes out to get work in the NHS because they're going to live in Spalding, so they applied for hospitals around the area. Not one reply back to say...
Manji, I hear your point, and I get what you're saying. There's a lot of frustration at the state of the country right now. Is that leading to anger at the main parties who have been in power? Yes. Is it meaning that people think, well, it couldn't be any worse if we gave someone else a go? Yes, I think it is. Manji, appreciate the call. Thank you very much indeed. But as with all politicians, you've got to look at actually what they say and what they will do, whether it's funded and whether it's credible. Thank you for wrapping up our conversation on that, Manji. Ben Kentish here on LBC. Headlines at 5 o'clock.
Roots into construction, as one example, is a fantastic way we'll make sure that young people can get on into brilliant careers.
Ministers confirmed plans to scrap public funding for the highest level apprenticeships in England.
It was clear that they intended to glue themselves to...